Welcome, and thank you for listening to the Miami Vineyard Podcast. We hope this message encourages you, breathes life into you, and helps you experience God's love. Enjoy the message. All right. Miami Vineyard, how y'all doing today? You guys are good. You guys got some sleep. Y'all slept in a little bit. Y'all made it to the 12:15. You guys excited to be here? A little bit? Okay. Awesome. Maybe some of y'all didn't get sleep. I don't know. Man, it is good to see you guys. And for those of us that are joining online, thank you so much for being here. Let us know in the chats, by the way, like where you're joining in from, and just say hello in the chats. Our hosts are there to connect with you. Oh, y'all, this is the last day of July. Can you believe it? A collective groan. Oh, July's over. Yeah. it's been an exciting summer, but there's still a few more weeks, It's not happening. It's not all ending tomorrow. We still got a few more weeks of summer. Throughout this whole summer, though, we've been in a series, y'all, called Vineyard Plus. And if you're looking at like some of the branding and like the picture and all that different stuff, you're like, hey, that kind of looks like Disney Plus. We took it from Disney Plus and we kind of just made it our own. But what we've been trying to do throughout these past several weeks is we've been looking at just really popular shows and really popular movies that have come out within the past year, and really just kind of linking them to like, man, what are some of the themes and what are some of the ideas and what are some of the concepts that they talk about in these movies, and why are they so compelling? Right? Because that's why these movies and these shows are popular, because they have narratives and they have themes that are compelling. And so it's like, man, if those themes are compelling, like, do they link at all with things that we actually see in Scripture, with things that we actually see in the Bible? And come and find it, we actually found out, yes, there are several that really do. And so what we've been trying to do is just find themes and ideas that have come from there. So week one, Pastor Debbie, I'll give a shout out to Pastor Debbie. She did so good. Yes. She in week one, she talked about the cleaning lady. I don't know if you guys seen the cleaning lady. And then she talked about how she linked it to Hagar in the book of Genesis, and how though Hagar was an immigrant and though Hagar was a woman in a society that did not value women, that God saw her, that God loved her, that God gave her purpose, God gave her a destiny. Even when others abused her, God came around her and saved her and comforted her. Praise God for that, right? And then in week two, we talked about Pastor Abdi was here. Give a shout out to Pastor Abdi. Yeah, it was so good. And he talked about Doctor Strange and the multiverse of madness, right? And he looked at the story of Jesus, and he talked about how Jesus on the cross yelled out, my God, why have you forsaken me? But then that was actually a link to Psalm 22, and it was the story of God's redemption and God's favor for all of humanity in that moment on the cross. It was really good. You got to check it out. And then last week, Pastor Paul, y'all, shout out to Pastor Paul. He did so good. Yes. Pastor Paul talked about Encanto. He talked about Encanto and how all of us are gifted, but our value does not come from our giftings. Our value comes from the fact that we're part of the family, right? Okay, so if you haven't seen any of those, you got to go back to YouTube and you got to check them out. And today, I have the privilege and the pleasure and the honor and the joy of sharing with y'all this week about Stranger Things. Stranger Things, yeah, do, right? Yeah. Okay, so real quick, I just want to get a gauge for where y'all are at. So raise your hand if you're a Stranger Things fan, like you enjoy the show. Okay, we got some people in here. If you're online, just type in your favorite Stranger Things character. I'd love to know. Okay, so out of y'all, so how many of you guys here have seen Stranger Things season 4? Season 4, the one that just came out like a few months ago. Okay, some of y'all, okay. And then how many of you guys haven't seen it yet, but you're like excited to see it, like you want to see it at some point, but you haven't been able to see it yet? Okay, we got a few. I promise, no spoilers today, no spoilers. You don't gotta bow out, you don't gotta dip out. I won't spoil anything. I won't tell you who or who doesn't die. No, I'm just playing, I'm just kidding. Okay, and then how many of y'all like could not care less about Stranger Things? You're like, nah, don't really care about that. It's not really my show. Okay, so for those of you who don't care about Stranger Things, we're also gonna talk about the Bible. We're talking about God, so maybe that'll be more of your palate as well. But real quick, so when I first saw Stranger Things, when I first started to hear about it, I was a little bit skeptical, like, cause I was like, I don't know, like, it doesn't seem that like great. Like, it's like, what's the premise of it? Oh, it's like these kids in the 80s. I'm like, like, I didn't grow up in that period, so it's not really like for me. Like, I don't know. Like, I was just like, whatever. But what I do, and I've learned this, right? And if you're smart with your streaming, you learn this. Like, I'm personally not a trailblazer. Like, if you go on Netflix, like, man, it's like every day there's like a whole new show, right? So personally, I'm not the one that's gonna try out all the different shows. I'm gonna wait for everyone to start recommending the show to me, and then I'm like, okay, now I'll give it a try. Cause I get invested sometimes in a show, and it's not that popular, and it doesn't get a second season, and then I'm really disappointed because I just invested my time in these characters, and they're just gone forever, right? This is really disappointing. And then also, I'm just like, man, like, I don't wanna just like give myself to this show if it's just not good, right? Just straight up. So a bunch of people started recommending, this is a handful of years ago, a bunch of people started recommending Stranger Things. You gotta see it, season 1 is really good. But you know what? Okay, I'll try it out. So I watched the trailer, and I'm like, okay, looks interesting. Let me try out episode 1. So put on episode 1. This is like, it's like maybe like 8, 9 o'clock or something like that. Put on episode 1, starts to watch it. It starts getting really good. I'm still not fully invested in it yet, but I'm like, this is okay. This is good. And then they like leave you on like a real bad cliffhanger, right? Like, oh my gosh, like where did Will Byers go? Like, what happened to him? This is crazy, right? And I think these shows, man, they are good. Like, they are so good at leaving you right on the edge for the last episode. So what you gonna do? You're gonna watch the next one, right? That's just kind of how it is. Like, you gotta watch the next one. And Netflix, they're smart, man. They only give you like 2.5 seconds to decide if you want to stop it or just let it keep going, right? So I'm like, okay, let's keep it going. Watch the second episode. Like, man, this is getting good. Like, this, all this stuff is happening. And then I think it was like maybe 5 or 6 a.m. I watched the whole season. I watched the whole season in one night. At some point, it was like 2 or 3, and I was like, you know, I'm so invested in this already. Like, I'm already going to be tired for work. I might as well just commit to this and go through with it. And any binge watchers here? Okay, it's not just me, right? Not just me. Just want to confess to y'all that I binge watch TV a couple times too, right? Maybe not some of y'all. Maybe it's just the 10:30 service that binge watches a lot of TV. You guys are great, right? But what I noticed in this season 1, and really it's throughout the whole show, and it's really like the foundation and the basis of the entire show, is this reality that exists that they didn't really know about, and the rest, like a lot of other people don't know about either. They call it the upside down, right? Because on the surface, it just looks like a really normal, like Midwestern, suburban, rural town in Hawkins, Indiana, right? And there's just like a few teenagers that play board games and hang out with each other and stuff like that. But beneath the surface, there's all this stuff that's happening, and there's all this stuff that's brewing. And man, ever since I first watched the show several years ago, I've always thought, like, man, this is a really interesting illustration and metaphor for what we as followers of Jesus would point to, that there's a reality that isn't just what you can see, right? That there's more than meets the eye in our world, too. There's more than meets the eye in our world. And some of you may be like, well, like the science hasn't proven it yet. Okay, that's okay. For thousands of years, the smartest scientists couldn't understand the idea that, like, right in front of me right now, there's like millions of like molecules and atoms like running all around, like right in front of me, right? Like, I can't actually see it, but we know it's there, right? Like, you can't see wind, but you know it's there. Like, you can't actually physically see like the connection that you have with another person, but you know it's there, right? So there's some things, I think, in our lives that we can recognize that it's like, man, like there's something more than just what I can see with my pupils and my corneas and all the fun scientific stuff about our eyes, right? Like, there's something more to the surface. And so I just want to look at a passage of scripture today and look at this idea a bit. What does it look like to begin to like get in touch with this other reality? And to be in touch with who God is. And man, how do you know God? Because y'all, right, like, you didn't see like God come up as a person, right, on the stage yet? Like, it didn't happen. Like, but you're coming to church to like meet with God. So I think all of us like have this idea, like, okay, like, yes, like who is he? How can we like connect with him? And what does that look like? I'm gonna try to answer all that and more in the next few minutes together. So if you got a Bible, flip over with me to 2 Kings. Chapter 6. If you got like a Bible app or a device or all these different things, you can go click over there or tap over there. If you don't have any of those, that's all good. There's going to be the verses right behind me on the screen. And then also, I want to encourage you to follow along with the message. We got some fill-ins for you, and you can follow along with our message notes that are on our Miami Vineyard app. And so if you don't have the app yet, this is an amazing, perfect time to grab the app. You can go to your app store and search Miami Vineyard. Find it right there, download it, and then you'll tap this weekend, and then you'll tap message notes so you can stay connected with what's happening. And I just want to encourage you to take notes, whether it's on the message notes or just on your personal notes, you got a journal, whatever it is. I want to invite you to take notes because, y'all, I've been praying. We've been praying for you guys, and we just believe that, and I'm praying that God would not just like be something that we talk about, but that God would be someone that we experience today. Anybody here not come to church? Like, I didn't come to church for a religious obligation, y'all. I didn't come to church because my mom told me to. Like, I didn't come to church because my spouse forced me. Maybe some of us are coming to church because, man, I actually want to meet with someone that's greater than me. I actually want to experience something that's greater than me. I actually want to encounter this one that I've heard about that loves me, that saved me, that was before me, and that is here with me. Anybody here come to meet with God? Anybody here come to kind of encounter the Lord? Yeah. So I've been praying that would happen, and I would love for you to take note of it. So real quick, let's jump over to 2 Kings chapter 6. We're going to start in verse 8. And real quick, just to give you guys some context for what's going to happen, because I'm going to name a few people, and you're not really going to know maybe who those people are. So at this time, think Israel, right? Israel, there's a nation called Israel that's comprised of 12 different tribes or regions. And those 12 tribes come from Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Jacob's other name was Israel. He had 12 sons, and those sons had sons and sons and sons and all these kids and stuff. So they made these tribes, and so they had this nation called Israel. And so, but then there was kings, and so there was King David, you know, the guy with Goliath, the slingshot, whoop, right there. And then there was Solomon, super wise, super smart guy. And then after that, the kingdom broke up and split. And there was a civil war, and there was conflict. And so there was the kingdom of Israel in the north, and then there was the kingdom of Judah in the south. That was where Jerusalem was and the temple and all that different stuff. And so now the kingdom is divided, and all of a sudden now the kingdom of Israel is not really doing things God's way anymore. They're kind of like, hey, let's make up our own way of doing this. Let's make up our own way for life. Let's make up our own gods, and let's make up our own deities, and let's try to do this thing our own way. And hey, things start to go south for them when they start to do it their own way. Anybody relate to that? That's almost too real for me, right? Like, when I start to do things my way and I neglect God's way, things just start to just not work out too well, right? So, and this is what's happening. But God, in his grace and in his mercy, he keeps sending people to them to draw, hey, like come back to God. Like, come back to God. This is what the prophets did. These were called the prophets. And he would send prophets to the kings, to the priests, and to the people of Israel and Judah. And he would say, hey, like, come back to God. Like, trust him again. Be with him again. And maybe some of y'all, you didn't come for anything else, but you just came to hear that. Like, come back to God. Like, he's not there to strike you. He's not coming to smite you. He wants to heal you. He wants to redeem you. He wants to forgive you. He wants to reconcile himself with you. Like, this is who God is, and he sends people in your life. Some of you guys have some friends that you don't know why God put them in your life, or you don't know why they're in your life, but maybe there are some people in your life that are drawing you, and maybe you're here in this moment, July 31st, 2022, to hear, come back to God. Like, that God sends people to draw us back to him, to lead us back to who he is and what he's doing in our lives. And this is what the prophets did. And that's where we find ourselves. And so the nation of Israel with its king, they're at war with this nation that's north of them called Aram. The capital is Damascus. And so they're at war with each other. And let's check out what's about to happen in verse 8. Y'all ready with me? You guys? Oh, that was a little weak. I don't even know if I want to read anymore. Are y'all ready, Ruby? Okay, cool. I was about to just get off the stage. Like, we can do something else then. All right, verse 8. So now the king of Aram was at war with Israel. Right? After conferring with his officers, he said, I will set up my camp in such and such a place. So now he's like scheming, right? He's like trying to strategize with his people. Like, hey, if we go over here, we get that place, we'll get them, and we'll attack this place, and we'll attack this place, and all this. They're scheming together. They're trying to figure something out. And then the man of God, also named Elisha, he sent word to the king of Israel. Beware of passing that place because the Arameans are going down there. And so the king of Israel checked on the place indicated by the man of God, because he doesn't really trust this guy, because like, he knows that God is using him, but he doesn't like the things that he has to say sometimes. So they're like, they got like kind of a tenuous relationship. But time and time again, Elisha warned the king so that he was on guard in such places. Now, I don't know if that makes sense for y'all, but for me, the way I think about this is like, y'all remember a handful of years ago when the Patriots, they were like cheating, and they were reading the other team's plays before they happened, right? Anybody remember that when that was happening? Another way to describe it is, anybody ever played Battleship before? Battleship, you guys play Battleship, like the little board game with the little pegs and the boats and all that fun stuff. Okay, so Battleship, so this would be like me and you right now. Me and you were playing Battleship. We were facing each other, like doing our thing, trying to guess each other's ships and all that different stuff. And that there was somebody, a third party, that was kind of watching this happen. And they look at my side, and they'd be like, hey, B3, B3, right there, yeah, cool. Hey, C4, right there, get C4. Like, and it says time and time again, like this thing kept happening. Now, I'm a nice guy, but I'm also a competitive guy. So if you did that, like if you started cheating that way with me like once, like we may have some words and we may just have some exchange and I may, hey, like stop that, like párate, right? Like, but if it says time and time, if you keep doing that, like we may have to throw hands. Like, I don't know, like I'm really competitive and I get really upset when people start cheating, and this would make me mad. And this makes the king of Aram really mad. Check this out, verse 11, it says, this enraged the king of Aram. It would enrage you too, right? He summoned his officers and he demanded of them. He said, tell me, which of us is on the side of the king of Israel, right? Because he thinks he's got a spy among him, right? He thinks that he's got a rat. He thinks that somebody is leaking info to the king of Israel on his behalf and telling them the things. And they're like, whoa, like, stop, because now they're afraid for their lives, right? And so they're like, no, none of us, my lord the king. None of us, said one of his officers. But Elisha, the prophet, who's in Israel, he tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom. Like, this man knows all your stuff. He's got all your passwords. Like, he's got your social security on lock. Like, he knows everything about you. He's got your bank account numbers. Like, he knows all, not even just your strategies for war. He knows what you think. He knows what you dream about. This man knows it all. And not just that, but he's telling your enemy all these things. You'd be kind of mad, right? Like, I mean, I'd be kind of mad. I need to go find out who this Elisha is. And who does he think he is? Verse 13, go find out where he is, the king ordered, so I can send men and capture him. And the report came back. He's in Dothan, which is like northern Israel. And then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went at night so they could be like a little sneaky, and they surrounded the entire city. Like, they're coming for Elisha. They're done with his shenanigans, and they're ready to get him, right? Check it out, verse 15. And so then when the servant of the man of God, so this is Elisha's like assistant, right? So when he goes out for the day in the morning, he got up, went out early the next morning. He sees an army of horses and chariots surrounding the city. So this is like you get up early, you know, like you go, you walk your dog, like, you know, down the sidewalks. So nice, normal day, right? Sunny, all good. And then like at the end of the street, you see like tanks and infantrymen and bazookas and like this whole thing. By the way, like not your country's tanks and infantrymen, like enemy nations' tanks and infantrymen. And they're looking at you and they got pointed at you and they are ready for you. And it's like, okay, not what I expected this morning, right? So naturally, right, he's freaking out, like all of us might. And he goes back to Elisha, he runs back to Elisha, and he's like, oh no, my Lord, like they got you. It's all over, right? Like, you were being all cool, you were being slick, you were trying to tell people the plans and things, but didn't you know that these were kings and they have armies and they're gonna come and get you, and they found you out, man, they got you. Hopefully not me, they got you. I feel like he's about to sell him out, right? He's like, you want this guy? I wasn't telling the king of Israel nothing, I promise. I'm Aramean, right? He's gonna start doing this, right? He's like, what do we do? What do we do? And this is interesting because you probably have never been in that situation where you woke up early, you walked your dog, and you saw enemy nations tanked up all across the street, right? You probably haven't seen that. But you've probably felt trapped before, right? If we're being real, if we're being honest, like, I know this is like Sunday morning, it's exciting, it's great, and smiles and all that, but even right now, some of you guys, you may feel trapped in your own situations. You may feel surrounded in your own situations. I don't know what it is. Like, maybe some of you, like, you got a report from the doctor that wasn't what you wanted to hear, and it kind of blindsided you. And like, what do we do? What do we do? These are the moments where your own capabilities and your own abilities and your own logic and your own reasoning and your own problem solving has come to its end, right? These are those moments in your life where you don't really have the power, the ability to think, to like maneuver your way around this situation. I'm stuck. What do we do? Like, maybe your kids you feel like they've gone off the deep end and they started getting addicted to drugs, or maybe they've had suicidal thoughts or suicidal attempts. Like I don't know what your story is, but I know that you may right now feel very trapped in your situation and you don't know where to go and you feel stuck, or you felt stuck before. And this is just an honest question. Like, Elisha, I think it's over, man. What do you want to do? What do you want to do? And check out his response. Verse 16. This guy is the worst and the best. Verse 16, he says, "Don't be afraid." "Thanks, man. Appreciate you." "Don't be afraid." Prophet answers. And then he just stacks it on top. It's like, "Don't be afraid. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And some of you who may know where the story is going, you'd be like, "Oh, this is where it's gonna get really good, right?" But just to be really real, like, Gehazi the servant and Elisha the prophet, like, they're stuck. And if I'm hearing this, like, if just being Gehazi, I'm just being real. Like, if I'm Gehazi and he's like, "Don't be afraid. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them," I'm like, okay. One, two. Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23. Like, what do you mean those are with us or those are with more than that? Like, and this would have been the moment where I'd have thought Elisha had probably gone senile. Like, he lived a long life. It was great. I think you're getting schizophrenic now. Like, I may have to, like, check you into a place, right? Like, this is the end, right? This is it. But check this out, because I think Elisha is inviting Gehazi to see things maybe a little bit differently, right? A little bit differently. Let's go over and skip to the next verse there in verse 17. It says, "Then Elisha prayed." Huh. Interesting. So first, he just said, "Hey, like, chill for a second, because right now you're going crazy and you're frantic and you're thinking about it and you're stressed and you're overwhelmed. So take a breath. Don't be afraid." And then he prayed. And check out what he prayed. He says, "Open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see." Is that what you would have? That's not what I would have prayed, just personally. Like, if that was me, I'd like, "Lord, like, teleport me right now up to, like, the middle of Israel. Like teleport me away from this. Like, get me out of this situation." And we pray prayers like that, right? "Lord, get me out of the situation. God, take me out of this situation. Like, remove me from the situation." But it's interesting, because Elisha doesn't pray to be removed from the situation. He prays for a perspective that he didn't have before, so that he could see maybe what God was doing in the situation. Like, and this is a different kind of prayer. This is where, like, maybe God doesn't remove every single thing from you in your life, but where you can see God moving in the midst of it. Like, you don't have to wait until everything is dandy and perfect to praise God again. You could praise God right in the middle. "God, would you give me perspective? God, would you give me a different lens? God, would you give me a different kind of vision to see what you're doing in the midst of the pain and the situation and the circumstance, in the middle of it? God, give me eyes to see." And then the Lord opened the servant's eyes. He did it. And then look at what Gehazi sees. He says, "He looked and he saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha." Man, that's good, right? That's good. Like, this is exactly what we're singing about, right? It's like, "It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you." Like, that's exactly what we were singing. That's exactly what we were just talking about. Like, man, like, in the midst of being surrounded, because they're surrounded. And this is actually really cool. So when I used to read this verse, I would think because he's talking about the hills and stuff, so I would think that the Lord's armies would have been around Aram's armies. Like, it would have been their armies, and then him, and then the Lord's armies around them. But when I read that again, I was like, oh, he said it was around Elisha. And so there was the Aram armies, and then him, and then the Lord's armies. They were a buffer, y'all. They were like a protection. They were like a shield. They were a covering. Like, it was like God was standing in between them and the situation that was in front of them. And this is really good, y'all. This is really good because some of you guys just need to know that God is not just like outside of the situation. God is in the situation. God is placing himself and positioning himself in between you and the thing that is killing you, the thing that is trapping you, the thing that you're surrounded by, that God is present in between it, right? That God is present in between it. And this is point number one, if you're following along in your notes, when I'm surrounded and when I'm trapped, I need upside down vision. I need upside down vision. I need to see something that I can't see with my eyes. You guys saw that he said that the Lord opened his eyes. Gehazi wasn't blind, y'all. His eyes were already open and could see everything in front of him and the terror and the danger. But God opened his eyes in a different way to help him see something else happening as well. Like, yes, this is very real. We're not neglecting that. But there's something else happening as well. Like, maybe God is also moving. Like, maybe that thing is happening as well. But maybe, like, God, give me perspective and give me a lens and give me a vision to see you too. And that's what's happening here. And check it out. And then in verse 18, it says that now the enemy came down, because there's still like a very real army that's there, right? And they're surrounded him. So then the enemy came down toward him, and then Elisha prayed a second time. And he prayed to the Lord, strike this army with blindness. And so the Lord struck them with blindness, as Elisha had asked. And then verse 19, Elisha told him, and now he's getting a little sneaky, right? He said, this is not the road, and this is not the city, actually, let me tell you right now. Follow me, and I'm actually going to lead you to the man that you're looking for, right? I think he's being part crafty, and then part like, actually, you have beef with the king of Israel, not with me, right? Like, you got issues with this guy. And so he's leading them, they're blind, just trusting this person that's guiding them into the very city that is the capital of their enemy. And they're blind and they're defenseless, and surely Israel's armies are ready. And this is where, like, oh, like, this is where it's gonna happen. Like, God delivered us. This is point number two in your notes if you're following along. When you feel trapped and when you feel powerless, like, I need upside down power. I need upside down power. And this is a beautiful thing, right? Because, y'all, some of you guys have just thought maybe like, okay, like this whole Jesus thing, like it's a good idea and it's a good thoughts and it kind of makes me a better person. Like, no, Christianity is not a moral compass. Christianity is not a good philosophy or a good idea. Paul says that the kingdom of God is the power of God demonstrated in the lives of humanity, that it's not just a bunch of words. It's not just good dialogue. It's not just good pontification of good thoughts and ideas. It is the power of God displayed in our lives, and there's evidence of it. Real life change, real transformation, like real God doing stuff in our lives and moving in our lives in ways that no one else could. Like, this is what it looks like. I need upside down power. I need power from a place that isn't my own. I need it from somewhere else. I need God to move in my situations. Yeah. And I just want to encourage you in that place. Like, actually ask God, like, to move. Like, you saw Elisha? He just prayed. Like, he didn't, like, do this whole, like, and it, not that praying for a long time is bad, but he didn't do, like, this whole, like, three-hour, like, prayer. Just ask straight up. Jesus says the Father already knows what you need before you even ask for it. So just talk to him. And I just want to encourage you, like, maybe some of you guys have just been, you've been, like, trying to follow Jesus, you've been trying to do the right thing, but you have just been trying in your own strength, and I just want to encourage you to lay it down and to take on God's strength and allow God to empower you, allow God to move in your situations in a new way. Ask God, not just to, like, make you feel better, but to really move and to really go on your behalf and to really stir up some things and shake up some things. Like, he is a real God. This Jesus is not just in a tomb. He's on a throne, right? He's high and lifted up, and he is in control of everything. And this is our Father. And we could trust him, and we could believe him, and we can know that he's good and he has power for us. In verse 20 then, so now they enter the city, right? They brought him to Israel. They're blind. This is it, right? This is where it gets good. We're going to kill the Arameans. We're going to be victorious. This is like the ending to like your favorite action movie, right? Like, we won! That's it! We got them! After they enter the city, Then Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men so they can see. So I'm like, well, that's a little weird, because if you're trying to kill them, that you don't want them to be able to see. I mean, I get, like, you're still surrounded them, like, your armies can still take out their armies, but, like, it's a little bit harder when they can see, right? So I'm like, Elisha, if you're trying to kill them, not the best way to do that. But he prays that the eyes of them would be able to be open and they could see, so then now they can see. And all of a sudden they realize they're surrounded, and there they were inside Samaria, the capital of Israel. And then verse 21, when the king of Israel saw them, he asked Elijah, he's like, hey, this is it, right? Should we kill them? Come on, like, we've been at war, we've been killing them, they've been killing us. And thank you, Elisha, for doing this whole thing. I think it's time to kill them. I think it's time to win, right? And this is the moment. This is the moment in the action movie where they take it and they slaughter everybody. It's like, ah, we did it. Check out what he says. Verse 22, he says, do not kill them. He answered, he says, would you kill those you have captured with your own sword and bow? So, like, prisoners of war, would you kill them? And then set food and water before them so that they may eat and drink and then go back to their master. Elisha said, no, don't kill them. Feed your enemies. Give your enemies something to drink, and bless them on their way. Who does that sound like? You guys can talk back to me. Who does that sound like? A little bit of, like, Jesus, right? Like, remember Jesus says, like, bless those who curse you? Like, pray for those who persecute you? Love those who hate you? Like, what? But why? Like, we have them. We've got them. It's over. We're at war. This is what you do when you're at war. You go for the kill shot. If you have the opportunity to win, you go for it, and you win. They're our enemies. We don't like them, and they don't like us. I don't like that person at work. They're always talking behind my back. They're always trying to get in my boss's ear and tell me that I'm not good enough. Yeah, bless them. Buy them lunch. Tell the boss that they should get promoted. Like, people in your families that hurt you, like, forgive and love and go back to the family function and don't cause drama, right? like, but why? But this is the, like, these are our enemies. Like, they've hurt us. We can kill them and we can be done with it. This is the beautiful thing. This is point number three in your outlines if you're following along. Like, when I feel trapped and when I'm surrounded, I need upside down love. I need upside down love. I need upside down vision. I need to see what God is doing. I need to see what God is up to. I need to see God moving in my life. Upside down power. I need the power of God to come. I don't just need good thoughts and good ideas. I need God's presence and power in my life to move in ways. And I need his love too. I need to experience his love, and I need to be a conduit of his love. Like, and because this is just real, right? If it's just up to us, we don't have the vision, we surely don't have the power, and I am sure that we don't have the love. Because it's really easy, right? Like, because you're like, oh, like, I love people. Like, it's really easy to love people that love you back really well. It's really easy to smile at people when they smile at you back, right? It's kind of harder to smile at people and bless people when they're giving you, like, the number one in traffic and, like, yelling at you in whatever language, right? Like that's a little bit harder. It's really harder to be close to somebody at work and to bless them and to be kind to them and to be generous to them when they backbite you all the time. It's really hard to forgive when you've just been hurt. Like, but if things are going to change in our world, and if things are going to change in our lives, like, this is the cycle, right? Because you have hurt a lot of people, too. And a lot of people have hurt you. And this is how the world works, over and over and over and over. And you hurt people, and if they asked you why, you probably would have given an excuse because you've been hurt before. And we hurt, and we hurt, and we hurt, and we hurt. And at some point, the cycle has to stop for any transformation to happen. And this is Jesus, right? And he says, if somebody hits you, don't hit them back, right? If somebody takes your coat, give him your shirt also. If someone asks you to go 1 mile, go 2 miles. And then the disciples are like, we don't have that kind of love. Yeah, I know. I know you don't. So stop trying to do it on your own. Trust me, this is who Jesus is, right? In the next chapter too, because it would have been really easy. Like, he blesses them, he sends them on their way, they go back, and Aram and them stop fighting for a little bit. And it's like, oh my gosh, it's cool, like God's way works. And then in the next chapter, Aram attacks them again. And this is the fear I think all of us have, is like, well, you know, if I forgive them, and if I love them, and if I pray for them, and if I bless them, what if they hurt me again? You ever ask that question? What if they do it again? What if I'm defenseless against them? And Aram actually takes out Samaria once again so bad that there's a famine and there's lots of people dying. And the king of Israel is so mad that this is happening. He goes to Elisha and he tries to kill Elisha because he's like, we should have got him when we had the chance. That was the moment. We should have killed him. And now they're killing us. But what's really cool about that as well is that God provides again in chapter 7. Like, Aram attacked them, but God defended them. God gave them another way. God showed them his perspective. God showed them his power. And God showed them his love. And they were rescued once again. This is the beautiful thing, y'all. If it's on my own, yeah, I should probably get them back so that they don't get me again. But if I'm trusting my life to God, okay, I'll do things his way. And if it goes south again, I trust that you'll provide again. If it goes south again, I trust you'll be with me once again. If it goes south again, I trust you'll love me once again. I want to do things your way, right? Like lean not on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Like believe that he's faithful and that he's good and that he's got you. And you don't have to then always get other people in this process. This is the beauty of upside down vision, upside down power, and upside down love when you're trapped and when you're surrounded and when you're helpless, to believe God for who he is and trust him for who he is. Yeah. Yeah. So let's pray together for a second. I just want to pray for you because I just don't want this to be a good, like, yeah, that was a good idea. That sounds really nice. I want to invite God to actually do it. I want to invite God to give you this power. I want to invite God to give you vision for what he's doing. I want to invite God to give you his love, that you would receive it and that you would express it in your life. So let's just pray for a second. Father, I thank you so much for what you're doing today. God, I thank you for your love. I thank you for your power. I thank you for the perspective that we can have to see you. Even just right now as we're praying, just whatever your situation is, I don't know it personally, but God does. God, I thank you that you know us, that you've known us before we were even formed in our mother's womb. That before the earth was even formed, you knew us. And you loved us. And you've been with us every single step of the way. When things should have hit the fan, when we could have died that one time, when it could have gone much worse, God, we can see you in our history. We can see you in the story that you've been writing in our lives. It's been tough, but you've been faithful. And even just right now, just as just an opportunity to respond, as we're praying, I just want to invite some of us. Like, if you're here right now and you're just like, man, I need vision from God. Like, I need to see God. I need to see God moving in my life. I need to see what God is doing in my life. I need upside down vision. I need to see from a different perspective what's happening in my life. I just want to invite you to just respond to the Lord in this way. If you need to see God moving in your life and see what he's doing in your life, I want to invite you to just stand. I want to invite you to stand just as a response to the Lord. Just to say, God, I want to see you. It's not for me. It's for God. It's just a moment you have with God. You don't have to look around. You can just have this moment here with God. This isn't for anybody else. This is for you. And for maybe some of you right now, you just need God's power. Like, you need God to do something. You need God to move. You need God to show up. You need him to show off. You need him to do something in your life. Like, God, if you don't come through, I don't know how this is going to work out. Would you just respond to the Lord in this way? Would you stand? If you just need God to show up in your life, if you need God to move in your life, if you need the power of God in your life, I want to invite you to stand. Thank you, Lord. Just even right now, just pray your own prayers to God. God, I need vision from you. I need power from you. I recognize I don't have it on my own. I need it from you. And maybe some of you right now, like you just need God's love. You need it for you, because it's for you. And you need it for others in your life that are really hard to love. If that's you, like, I just need God's love. I want to invite you to stand as a response. Again, this is not for me. This is a moment between you and God. I want to invite you to stand. God, I need your love. I need your love. I need to experience your love, and I need your love to love other people well, because I can't. I need your love. Again, just pray your own prayers to God. Just ask him. I feel like some of you, just ask him. Maybe some of you, you stopped asking God about things, because maybe you didn't see it come through in the way that you thought it should. Or like, you're just not sure if this thing is, like, just ask him. He can hear you, he's your father. And for any of us right now that maybe this whole thing is kind of different, maybe you don't have you've never had a relationship with Jesus, and this whole asking God for things and believing God for things is weird or unique, but maybe something's happening right now where you're like, man, like, I want that. I want to say yes to this. If this is who God is, I want him. I want what he has for my life. I want his ways. I want to see him. I want his power. I want his love. If that's you in this place and you've just never had a moment where you've said yes to this, I just want to invite you to just pray a prayer in your heart as I pray it out loud. I just want to lead you in this way to just invite Jesus into this. Into your life. As I pray, just pray it in your heart. Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for redeeming me. God, I thank you that you are willing and able to forgive all of my sins. That I can be clean. I can be whole. Can be in right relationship with you. God, I don't have all the answers. I don't have all of it put together. But I just feel like in this moment, I say yes to you. Thank you for giving your life for me. I give my life to you. Y'all could be seated, guys. Thank you so much. God bless y'all. Love you guys.
Thanks for joining in today. If you enjoyed this podcast, we'd love for you to leave a review, subscribe to this channel, and share with a friend. We'd also love the chance to connect with you. You can text the word NEW to 786-705-8930. Again, that's NEW to 786-705-8930. And we'll give you some next steps with how to plug in and get connected here at Miami Vineyard. We hope you have an amazing week, and thanks again for listening.